We are interviewing today Jean Schiffman as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League San Antonio, Texas Unit. This is January the 14th, 2004. Interviewer is Ruth Stewart, assisted by Carol Habgood. Jean, start in by telling us a little bit about your early life and what led you into nursing and then the Army.
Well, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Went to elementary, junior, and high school there and decided I wanted to become a nurse and went into what we called in those days nurses training at Harmon Hospital School of Nursing in Philadelphia. And upon completion of the three-year program, I was an RN and went to work in New York at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center. I worked in the operating room at the Neurological Institute. From there, I went into the Army in 1949 and went through basic at Fort Sam. You want all of my military?
Well, let's go back a little bit and tell me a little bit what got you interested in nursing, and then why, when you wanted to join the military, why you chose the Army.
Is there anything else? My early years, we were essentially poor, and I had two brothers, mother and father. And I don't know, just I can't tell you precisely why I decided to go into nursing, except that I always wanted to do that. And incidentally, while I was in Hahnemann, I was in the Cadet Corps. It came into being during WW2, and I was a member of the Cadet Corps for my last two or three years. Is that enough about that?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I asked the question, you know, how much of my military history I'll tell you about.
Okay.
I'll go start with my education first. I was an RN from Hahnemann. In 1962, I received my BS from Incarnate Word College here in San Antonio while I was on active duty. In 66, I received my master's from the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center, still on active duty, and I retired in September of 70. That was 33 years ago. During that time, I had 7 years of overseas duty. I had, in 1951, I spent a year in Korea, and well, I'd never been camping before. It was quite an experience, but it was sort of interesting because despite the fact that we had hot weather in the summer and cold weather in the winter, I was healthy the whole year. Many people got ill, particularly in the cold weather. I did bring some pictures showing the type of life we had. We lived in tents with potbelly stoves. And in the OR, after 6 months, I became OR supervisor there, me, a young first lieutenant. And so my last 6 months there, I was OR supervisor and also in charge of central materiel. Let's see, my next overseas assignment was in Germany.
Before we leave Korea,
yeah,
tell us a little bit about your work there as a nurse.
It was fantastic. I never knew, as an operating room nurse, I never knew that technique could be carried out to the extent that it was in Korea, you know, in the field. Our hospital was a tent initially. Later they put it into a frame, but it was a tent with just canvas over the dirt for the floor. We had a potbelly stove in there. The patients we had, the stretchers were brought in to be put on horses. We didn't have operating room tables. Our enlisted personnel were really great, and they devised an actual scrub sink. They had a big tank outside that's where they heated water, and we can actually scrub with not ice-cold water for surgery. And I did bring some pictures to show these things. Our living was really hard. In the wintertime, you'd wake up in your sleeping bag, and we slept on cots with sleeping bags, and look up and there were icicles because our potbelly stove, the lawn would be frozen and no heat. Then we didn't want to get out of the sleeping bags because then we had to go to the latrine, and there's a picture of that too at this tent where the seats would be frozen. That's a wild, mad awakening in the morning. Really got you going, though.
I guess.
And overall, our food was relatively okay. We ate out of mess kits, and I think one thing, like our shower broke down, so that for 6 months we strictly were washing out of our helmets. And I think one thing that really strikes me is that you really learn to appreciate the very simple things in life, like being able to take a bath, being in a bed, being able to drink milk. We got that pound of stuff or whatever it was over there. And there was a picture there where I went to Tokyo to meet a regular army board. I had TDY, and that was like in heaven because I was able to do these things and realize that, you know, what these things are simple, and you know, I've been missing them. We really had a wonderful group there. It was like one big family. We were out in the field, not near any town or anything like that. There were civilians not allowed except for, we had some young boys cleaning for us, and that was about it. Said nothing about Korea?
If that's what you want to say, okay, go on.
I think so. I think that's enough.
Okay.
Except, you know, everybody, we'd work, depending on the patient load, if we worked 16 hours, 18 hours, until you were ready to flop, really. And then somebody else would take over until they were ready to flop.
Was there any recreation?
Well, we used to walk in the hills where they had seen that there were no landmines. I did get to go one trip to Seoul, Korea, which was, I haven't been there since it's been rebuilt, but all I just have memories of how it was. And I did get to, I showed you, I boarded a Navy ship and going up the old ladder, Jacob's Ladder, which was quite an experience. But those were my recreations, actually. Towards the end, we did have a club tent, and the end of my stay. But it was nothing, not much more than just all of us meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing very extravagant.
And then leaving Korea, what were your feelings about leaving there?
Well, actually, what happened was about several weeks before I was supposed to rotate, I received a message from my brother here in the States that my father had died, and the Red Cross had never notified me. I shouldn't say that I hate the Red Cross. I don't hate the Red Cross, but I've always had very ill feelings about the fact that I was never notified. And the chief nurse over there did make arrangements for me to leave a couple of weeks earlier than I was supposed to rotate. I think my overall feelings about my tour there was an awakening to things that I wasn't used to, certainly. And of course that was true when I was in basic training too. I'd never lived in a community before, And at that time, we lived in just a big community, but because I was the first lieutenant, I was in a room with just 5 people rather than 25 people. But as I said, I decided to go regular Army, and I did. So I guess I really liked it and wanted to stay in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, let's see. When I first came back, isn't that weird? I can't remember where I was assigned when I first came back. I think it was to, it was to Fort Knox, their old hospital, an old nursing home. Nurses' quarters, I should say. Not nursing, well, nurses' quarters. And I lived right above where they shoveled in the soft coal. It's a great experience. It was a good experience, though, being back in the States and not going to a big hospital at that time. I was ready for a small hospital, but I didn't stay there long. I did get transferred to Aberdeen Proving Ground, and that was an experience in as much as there were just 2 operating room nurses, and we also took care of OB, like delivery room and all this good stuff. Plus, they were shooting off all these guns. I felt like I was back in the old country. But that was short-lived also. I then went to Valley Forge. This was all in a short period of time, because in 1962, I had orders for Germany. And I went to Landstuhl, Germany. You hear about Landstuhl now with patients going through there, coming back to the States. I spent 2 years there in the operating room. And I could have rotated then, but I had the opportunity to go to become chief nurse of the field unit outside of Frankfurt. So I lived in Frankfurt for a year, and I was with the 31st Surgical Hospital. I came back in 58, and to Brooke-Offey Medical Center. And I spent 4 years at Brooke here. Only because I asked to be left here so that I could finish my BS program at Incarnate Word. What I did was I worked night duty in the operating room and took classes during the day and carried mostly 9 hours. So I was meeting myself coming and going, and I used to tape my lectures and reference work, and then while I was sleeping, I'd play them. My mother lived with me then, and drove her sort of wild. But then in 60, I had to have surgery, and I'm still going to school. And I just took one course that semester, and it was microbiology. And everyone said, microbiology, wow. So the night before my surgery, the day before my surgery, I went into for my midterm. Then I had my surgery, and I went on convalescent leave, and my kid brother was stationed in Bermuda with Coast Guard. So I went over there for my convalescent leave, came back, and got an A in microbiology. I graduated in, I think I got the years messed up. So I'm in 62, I graduated magna cum laude, despite working and going to school and all that. Hard work.
Terrific.
And immediately I got off orders for Japan. So I took my mother and our cocker spaniel, and we went to Japan. And it was great. You know, we were in the housing area, had a full-time maid. I was in charge of the operating room and central supply. And I learned how to play duplicate bridge and learned to golf while I was there. That was my country club assignment. And put in for graduate school and came back and went to graduate school for just 1 year and got my MS. From there, I went to like South Carolina, I can't even think of the name of the place. At any rate, from there I went to Fort Benning and I taught operating room nursing until I retired in 70. That's the end of my military career.
In teaching operating room nursing, you were working with graduate nurses that were already in the
Army. I was working with lieutenants and captains, yes. And actually, that was when Vietnam was going on, and they'd finish my program and they'd go over, but I never went over. It was an interesting program, and nice, young, eager students. It's very nice.
Did you like the teaching?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready for it, I think. And with my years of operating room experience plus my education, I think I was pretty well qualified for it. What else can I tell you? My afterlife?
Well, before we get to that, what are your major memories of your career?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't mention, I don't believe, that from basic I had gone to Letterman out in San Francisco. And that was my first time out on the West Coast. And a group of four of us drove out. It was sort of interesting in this clinky old Ford that was about ready to fall apart. But we were going from basic to Letterman. We got to Letterman and the car looked around and said, "That's all." It saw the hills and said, "That's all." That was a great experience. And I've loved that area ever since, actually. I was there just for about a year. And then I went to graduate school there. And then after I retired, I lived in the hills of Oakland for 3 years.
So you had a lot of experience in that area.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. And, Korea was certainly a highlight, but taught me an awful lot as a young person, a young nurse. I think that was my greatest learning experience in the Army. The rest was fine. I mean, I really did enjoy my Army career.
And do you have any, your experience as being caring for combatants and working in the military through a war, did that affect your view of war in any way?
Well, if I get on my thing, so war is hell, no matter how you look at it. And, very little is said about what happened in Korea. We hear about Vietnam, and of course now Iraq. Korea was a hard time, and actually it's something that never ended. We still have troops there. There's still, I don't know. And do I feel about wartime in general? I think I don't know. There has to be a better way, but war is always been in our history, and I guess it always will be.
Since your retirement, have you joined veterans organizations aside from WNC?
The American Legion, yeah. Other organizations I've joined have to do with my loss of vision.
Tell us a little bit about that.
About my loss of vision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they call it macular degeneration, and it's where the macula is the most acute vision spot in the retina. I don't want to get too technical,
mm-hmm.
but there are two types: there's wet and dry, and I'm unfortunate enough to have the wet type, which 10% are wet and 90% are dry. The wet, you actually hemorrhage in the back of your eye, and it obscures your central vision and the macula. And so I have peripheral vision, I can see around the sides, top and bottom. But if I look at something, I can't read it. If I look at you, your face isn't clear.
You've done some major adaptation, though, to improve your living with this or as...
Up to a talking computer, right? And my closed-circuit TVs and talking books and what else? I don't know. I have all kinds of things. I never go without... This is a 9-power magnifier so that I can read this if I try to.
Mm-hmm. That didn't have anything to do with your military career, did it?
No.
That was genetic.
It had to do with my age and genetic. Yeah, I think, you know, my mother was never diagnosed with macular degeneration, but when I think back, she died in 79. She had an eye problem, and it got to the point where she didn't read. She'd watch TV, but she still played cards. She taught me how to play bridge when I was this big.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that she probably had macular degeneration. So I think maybe it was a genetic thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've certainly had a notable career as an Army nurse, and we appreciate your sharing this information with us.
Well, I hope it was adequate, and that's my life.
Thank you very much.